Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. There were four people on a small flight. There was a doctor, there was a lawyer, a priest, and a Boy Scout. And along the flight, the pilot began to have engine trouble. And although he tried his best to fix it, he couldn't fix it. He comes out and he tells his small passengers, I'm sorry, but it's going down. We've got to jump. He grabs his parachute and boom, he's out the door. Well, the bad thing is that that had four passengers and only three parachutes left. The doctor says, well, I saved lives. So he grabs a bag and he's out the door. Next, the lawyer said, I'm a lawyer and we're the smartest people in the world. Grabs the bag and he's out the door. That leaves only the priest and the Boy Scout. Well, today I want to talk about living with purpose. When I say living with purpose, I'm talking about something different than just getting by or different than just going with the flow. I'm talking about believing that God has a purpose for your life and partnering with God towards that purpose's end. Well, in the story, the lawyer and the doctor, they know their purpose, right? One's to save lives, another's to gain knowledge, right? But what is your purpose? Jerry Russell, he tells his purpose to us every time that he prays. When he prays, he says, and Lord, help us to do whatever we can for whoever we can, whenever we can. Bob Lasher told me once what his purpose was. Bob Lasher confided in me that his purpose was to sing a solo in church one day. Well, guess what, Bob? Today is your day. We're having church at home, so here's what I want you to do. Bob Lasher, I want you to sing a solo in your own home today, okay? I want you to go off into a room by yourself and sing a solo. I want you to go off into a room by yourself and shut the door and sing a solo. Okay, I want you to go into a room by yourself, shut the door, and then sing into a pillow, okay? Today's your day. The Apostle Paul had a lot of time to think about what his purpose was when he was under house arrest. And here's what the Apostle Paul comes to realize. Your purpose isn't limited by your problems. Let me say that again. Your purpose isn't limited by your problems. When you think about Paul's experience, things weren't great. Paul was under house arrest. He was chained to a different guard each day from the Praetorium Guard. Now, the Praetorium Guard, those are the best of the best soldiers that were handpicked by Caesar. And each day, for more than 8 hours a day, he's handcuffed to one of these guards. And so Paul has absolutely no chance of escape. Now, here's the ironic thing. When Paul looks at this very bad situation, Paul doesn't see himself in prison, chained to guards. Paul sees himself at a pulpit with a captive audience. And here's what Paul actually says about it. Paul says, I want you to know, brethren, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Praetorium Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Philippians 1, 12 and 13. See, I believe that God specializes in bringing good out of bad situations. And the end result is this, is that Paul is able to preach a sermon each day for 2 years to the Praetorium Guard. And imagine how many of them take his message out all through Rome. Not just the words he says, but also the attitude that he had. See, Paul didn't have a why me attitude. Paul had a use me attitude. A few years ago, some of us from church went to the Marin County Jail to do jail ministry. And while we were there, there was a lady who was an inmate there who stood up to give her testimony. She started her testimony by sharing with us from Romans 8, 28. She said this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. In her testimony, she talked about how she had been addicted to drugs, and that the drugs had really gotten the best of her. They had worn her down, and she got to the lowest point where she was on her knees, and she was just praying, "God, please help me." Well, she tells us that no more than 20 minutes after she prayed that prayer, she got arrested. So for more than 4 days, she's sitting in a jail cell, and she's sitting there mad at God. "God, why in the world would you let this happen to me?" For 4 days, she's mad at God. But then on the fifth day, she goes to a Bible study, and she hears about Romans 8:28, about how God is working all things for the good of those who love him, are called according to his purpose. She begins to change her attitude. And by the time we get to the jail and she's giving her testimony, by that time she's drug free and she's testifying to the glory of God. Well, what about you? Are you like this woman in prison? Do you have a testimony of when God has taken your worst experiences, your lowest points, and turned them into mountaintop experiences? Or maybe you're in that dark moment right now. Maybe right now you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're asking God, "Please bring me out of this and use even this now." Romans 8:28. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that God makes all situations. See, I don't believe that God made this woman a drug addict. And I don't believe that God made the coronavirus to kill thousands. But what Romans 8:28 does say is that God is able to work good in all of our situations. I got something. I got a piece of yarn here. And I got to admit something to you. I am not very good when it comes to crocheting or knitting or sewing or anything like that. But I think that God's a pretty good weaver. I think that God is really good when it comes to weaving good out of bad situations. See, here's what God's able to do. God is able to take a string here and tie it to another string. And God is able to twist it around something else. And God is able to move it through another situation. And from our side, from our perspective, it looks chaotic. It looks nonsensical. But once you flip it and look at it from God's point of view, all of a sudden you see that it's something amazing that God has done. See, we serve a God who's strong enough, who's good enough, and who's smart enough to redeem any situation, even yours. As I think about God being able to make good out of bad, I'm reminded of a story I heard about a young man by the name of Lewis Braille. His father was a blacksmith, and on a tragic day, Lewis lost his eyesight when he accidentally got blinded by one of his father's tools. Literally at that time, Lewis could see nothing good of it. Literally, all he saw was darkness. No way for God to redeem this situation. No way for God to do something good through his life in it. And yet, years later, Lewis would create a way for blind people to be able to read. I bet you probably know what that system's called, right? Yeah, Braille, that's right. But what you might not know is that Lewis uses the very same blacksmith tool that blinded him as a tool to make the marks on the paper. So to me, what's so amazing is that the tool of his greatest problem became the tool of his greatest purpose. God is able to weave good in all situations. I think about Paul. There's a time when Paul himself was the tool of destruction. You remember Paul's name used to be Saul, and Paul was a persecutor of the church. He arrested Christians. He took their property, threw them into prison, and not only that, he oversaw their persecution. He was there when they stoned Stephen. But then God starts weaving. God calls him on the road to Damascus, and God changes his name from Saul to Paul. What began as a tool for destruction, God uses as a tool for his purpose and for his kingdom. This same Paul who persecuted the word of Christ would go on to preach and proclaim the word of Christ. The house arrest was meant to stop Paul, but God starts weaving. And now Paul has a chance to preach to the Praetorian guard, but God's not through there. God continues to weave, and Paul has a chance to encourage the church, and God's still not done. God continues to weave in Paul's life, and Paul is able to write letters that not only encourage the church, but speak to us today. Paul wrote Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. God is able to weave good in all of our situations. There was a foursome that were playing golf, and they were at the 16th tee, and Carl Clark gets up to the tee, and he smacks the ball, and immediately it veers to the left. It goes right over the cart path, hits the street, and then bounces off a bus tire. Comes back into play, rolls down a hill, onto the green, and right into the cup. Everyone is amazed, jaw wide open, and they ask, "Carl, how in the world did you do it?" Carl kind of shrugs and says, "Well, see, you got to know the bus schedule." Paul doesn't know the bus schedule, but Paul knows a God who can weave good in all situations. So what about you? Is God weaving in your life? What is your purpose? You know, when we think about our purpose, it's kind of a specialized question, isn't it? There are things that you are uniquely gifted and skilled at, but that might not be your purpose. It might be something that you aren't that good at, and yet experience has put you in such a position that God is able to use you in a unique way. You know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of Moses, right? Moses wasn't the greatest speaker. Moses was prone to run from problems, and yet God starts weaving. And then God calls him to go and bring his people out of Egypt. I'm thinking of Esther. Esther wasn't the boldest of persons. She could have just been quiet and saved her own neck. But when her own people were threatened, she comes to realize that God might have placed her in this position for such a time as this. In a modern day example, I'm thinking of young Adam Walsh, 6 years old. Tragically, he was murdered. His father, of course, was devastated by it. And he takes that passion and he takes that pain and he puts it to use. John Walsh begins a television show called America's Most Wanted that would result in the capturing of over 1,200 fugitives that were taken off the street. God is weaving. What your purpose is not necessarily what you're best at. But let me tell you this, no matter what your purpose is, you can use it for the glory of God. There were four people that were taking a small plane. There was a doctor, a lawyer, a priest, and a Boy Scout. The pilot began having trouble with the plane, and it was going down. He comes and he says, "Man, everyone's got a parachute out of here." He grabs his parachute, and he's out the door. The only problem is there was four passengers and only three parachutes left. The doctor grabs a bag and says, "I'm a doctor, and I save lives," and he's out the door. The lawyer says, "I'm a lawyer, and I'm one of the smartest people in the world." He grabs a bag, and he's out the door. The priest says to the young Boy Scout, "Here, son, take my parachute." He says, "I've lived a long life. Now you live your life for the glory of God." The Boy Scout smiled at the priest and hands his parachute back and says, "Not to worry, Father. The smartest man in the world just jumped out with my backpack." Paul had a long time to think about his purpose. And Paul comes to realize that his purpose is even more important than his life. Paul would say in Philippians 2:21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Here's what I want you to know. Even when we die, God is not done weaving in our lives. We're here today today, right here, right now, being encouraged by words that Paul wrote 2,000 years ago when he put his trust into God's purpose. Will you let God weave in your life today?